Felix.
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 Director.
Director. Director. Yeah. Please, yeah. Come and meet.
Torsten.
And your last name, sir, Felix?
Sorry?
What's your last name, Felix?
Felix, Yo.
Yo. And you are the...
You are a visitor or you're living here in Singapore?
I'm a visitor.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, Felix, are you the director of administration?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a clergy role or administrative role?
Both. It depends on the nature of... situation. I've been a pastor before. Before I decided to take on the responsibility of being administrator here.
Okay. How many years have you been at was the Methodist?
Me?
Yep.
35 years.
35 years. Yeah. Okay. So you're quite well acquainted with this local church.
Wesley? Yes.
Wesley. I am. Okay.
We'll have to talk here because I'm expecting some people to come by for me to assist with some.
No, here's fine.
Give me a second. Yes, how can I help you?
Okay. The reason I'm here today is because 2013, I think it was in November 2013, I visited here and I was thrown out of a Sunday morning service in a very rude way. I think the person's name was Ming. He may have been the head pastor or top clergy, something Ming.
Guy?
Yes, a man. Yes, he was staff. So what happened was he, in a very rude way, evicted me from the morning service.
Sure.
And since then, I have made several attempts to, by email, to try to find out, am I still banned? And there is a persistent refusal by Wesley Methodist Church here in Singapore to answer my email where I ask, am I welcome or am I still banned?
I see. You sent it to the Methodist headquarters or you sent it to
Wesley? Yes, yes. And I sent that as recently as yesterday. So you have I think maybe at least 5 or 7 addresses to the Wesley Methodist Church. So you definitely have it. And are you unfamiliar with that correspondence?
If it was sent yesterday, I would not have...
Okay, I sent it also 2 days ago. So
sent it to Wesley Methodist Church?
Yes, on Friday, Saturday, and also early this morning.
Okay, why not give me your email.
Yes.
So in case I don't get it tomorrow,
And also, I sent several emails in December, middle end of December, in 2017. So that was only 4 months ago.
Was it addressed particularly to anyone?
It was addressed to whatever public. That's the email there, torsten@menzen.net. You may keep the card.
Okay, thank you.
And. So considering the number of emails that I have sent to your church, and considering the very disturbing eviction from your church in 2013, I think it's appropriate to just seek face to face. Am I still banned from this church?
I don't think that we ban anybody from the church unless there has been an incident where there has been an altercation. If not, then I am not aware of the church officially banning someone, right?
How but
unofficially,
covertly.
It cannot be overtly or unofficially.
Most churches opt for the covert banishment. In other words, they lack a sufficient biblical or reality base, or in fact they have no biblical or reality base, and so they choose to covertly excommunicate. That's the most common.
Are you a member of the church?
I'm not a member of any church, sure. And I'm not interested in membership. I'm interested in fellowship.
Sure. I think in terms of the when the term excommunication is used, it's only used in terms of a person having been a member and excommunicate the person. Yep. That's the understanding of it.
That's the most common interpretation of excommunication. I view it from a more sociological perspective. If you're if you enter a group and you're expelled, you're actually excommunicated. Mm-hmm. You're not welcome in this community. But I know your perspective.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of coming here to worship, I'm quite sure that you are free to attend our services. I'm quite sure that they would not evict you out because you want to attend the service.
Well, I have been before.
So I need to find out. I need to go back and find out from staff as well as what happened at the time.
Right.
Yeah, so give me some time to look at it. I'll definitely get back to you on email for sure.
Okay.
My name is Felix, and you can email me directly at felixy.
Okay.
I will email you my home address. Okay?
Felixy
at wesleymc.org.
Okay, is it felix.y or felixy?
No, please, y.
Okay.
So, by the way, I'll email you
tomorrow
so that you at least get my email address and you can correspond. But in terms of coming to worship here at Wesley, we welcome people to come and worship and have fellowship with the congregation. What we can do is that let me look at it, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay.
What's happening?
All right. Yeah. Let me just fill you in on some perspectives, which in regards to the use are also very. I'm very familiar with churchianity. So when people in churchianity think of worship, they think of it as about a so-called service on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, that's according to the Bible, as I read it, a service is 24/7. And it's not a midweek meeting, it's not a Sunday meeting, it's serving people, visiting people in prison, visiting, paying
being
attention,
involved in the life of the church.
Meeting people's needs, ultimately leading people to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not about, if I'm welcome to sit in a pew for an hour or two, that's not worship to me. That's a pain. It's an agony having to sit in a pew. I'd rather be speaking with people about Jesus Christ out on the streets. So the concept of worship that is prevalent in the minds of most people in churchianity is quite different from what I see in the Bible.
I appreciate your position on what worship is. I mean, it's the way we live our life on a daily basis, 24/7, and how we interact with the people around us. I think that's worship. You're not wrong. But in terms of getting into the life of the church, I think there's a process in which a worshipper or a member of the church gets into the life of the church, the ministry of the church, getting involved in the different ministries that we have, depending where God has impassioned you in, and being part of that work that God wants to do through Wesley. But there's a process, meaning that depending on the level of involvement, the various leaders in their own respective ministries or committees would have to sit down and get to know you and assess you to see whether, in terms of your theology, in terms of you as a person, you are sincere and would appreciate also the position of the church in certain aspects of how it does worship outside the worship services.
Mm.
I think that's important because unless they know you, it would be quite difficult for them to involve you in certain aspects of the work. Let me give you an example. How long do you, when you visit Singapore, you visit for 3 months, 6 months? Or?
I am a regular or semi-regular visitor to Singapore. But that's on the level of the transparency. I don't easily, I rarely speak about any itinerant matters, but I can easily speak about things in my past. So I don't reveal where I'm going, but I will tell you where I've been.
Like I say, you know, I mean, for a visitor, a member, worshipper to be involved in the life of the church, I think it will take some time. As we get to know you, as we need to see whether So we will have to go through the process of getting to know the person and then slowly getting the person into the life of the church. That's how we work here in Wesley.
Mm.
Do you visit other churches as well?
I visit a lot of churches. There is no church anywhere on earth where I'm actually welcome. I'm actually, in reality, covertly, explicitly, or implicitly banished by every church on earth, every church that I've been in contact with. Because I'm a Christian.
Because you're a Christian.
Because I'm a Christian, yes. Now, it's interesting you say you want to assess people before you... why don't you just... Like, Jesus, welcome people. Welcome the sinners into your church. Just say, you know, we don't need to assess you. Just come and welcome. And speak God's word to them in love.
Yeah.
God's word is the transformational aspect. And the power of the Holy Spirit is the transformational aspect. Now, there is accountable discipleship, yes, foremost. To who? To the head of the church, Jesus Christ. But there is so much, in church family, there's so much of control freaks.
No.
We need to control you. We need to assess you.
It's not so much control. But from what you've shared with me so far, okay, you're not wrong in your understanding of the church and of worship. And of
the biblical aspect,
the biblical aspect.
Yes.
Not at all. So I'm quite surprised that churches have not welcomed you, given if, as you have mentioned to me, even Wesley.
Well, I'm not surprised because I know the reality is ultra hypocritical leadership.
However, there are, as you know, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. We render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God's. Particularly in Singapore, because of certain sensitivities, we do have a responsibility to ensure that how we do church is done in a way that's helpful, that's encouraging, that's right. The reason why we have to process individuals is that sometimes individuals, because of their passion, their convictions. They do take certain actions, matters in their own hands, and that may lead to consequences that the church may not be ready to have to deal with. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that example. It was a rather vague one. What sort of actions would these individuals do that the church would?
Example, sharing very openly and overtly to our non-Christian citizens, for instance. As you know, it's a very sensitive issue here in Singapore, and we cannot take. And we need to know that the individuals that are representing the church will not jeopardize the freedom and the peace that the church has in expressing their worship to God in a very specific context. You read the papers, I'm quite sure about how the government looks at even invited guests that come in and do say certain things that may stop the feelings of other religions. So I think that's something that we have to be sensitive about. Not that we shouldn't share the gospel, but that there are ways in which it can be done legally, and it's the responsibility of the church to do so. So as I mentioned, you render to Caesar what Caesar is, and you render to God what is Christ.
Yeah.
So because of that, I think it's good for us to know the people that we are working with, especially if they're going to be representing the church.
And who was your highest master, your top master?
My master's is in business administration.
Yes, yes, but who is your master? Are you serving government in Singapore, or are you serving...
No, I'm serving God, but God has placed authority over us for a reason, as the Bible makes clear.
So was it with God's authority that I was evicted from your church in 2013?
I wouldn't equate actions of the church to God's as much as we do represent to a great responsibility the way in which we carry ourselves, showing who God is. However, we cannot say that what we do is what God has done. It's two separate things.
So what you do and what God wants you to do are two very different things.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
What I said is that we cannot attribute what we do to what God does.
Sorry, I didn't understand what you were saying.
We cannot attribute what we do because of our convictions to what God will do. We do it because that's what we believe, and that's what we trust and faith that this is what God has taught us, and therefore we act on it. But our actions may not necessarily be God's actions. That's what I'm saying. I won't even say not necessarily, it's not God's actions. It's our actions based on our own convictions and understanding of what God intends and wants us to act on. Because we're not God. We can only, as Apostle Paul says, to view things as if we scream through a glass. We don't see clearly, we're not perfect. We're human. But we do make mistakes.
Oh, I know that very well. I know that perfectly well. I know it better than anybody because I'm excommunicated or banished by all churches on earth. So I know very well that the nature of all the disparate or the distance between reality and...
Actually, I'm quite interested in why,
Okay, there is a... you'll find in the email, which has been sent to you the last couple of days, and also which was sent for 7 or 8 emails sent in December 2017, you'll find a link to where there is more information also regarding how... or you can just do the simple way, Google my name and Singapore afterwards, citation, Torsten Lenzen, and a citation, Singapore, or you may, and my name, Wesley Methodist, and see what turns up. And because I put it out there for a reason, as a warning, this is not God's way. Okay. Because I was evicted, and because Wesley has not yet declared what we did against you was wrong, okay, it's out there. And when I repeatedly tried to gain communication with you, thank you for sitting down, and the emails are not being responded to.
Sure, I understand.
Now that is an indication to me that there is no repentance and there is no acknowledgement of sin from Wesley clergy. So
let me find out where the emails went to. Definitely didn't come to my office. Whoever the email has gone to, let me also try to understand from them why they have not responded. And I'll get back to you for sure.
One more thing, I just want to ask, what's your church attitude in regards to Christian marriage?
what do you mean by attitude? Maybe of course encourage Christians to find the right partners and bless them. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do singles in your church meet?
We used to have a singles ministry. I don't think that it used to be called guys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we have moved away from having specific ministries like this because we believe that whether you're married or not, you're part of the body of Christ, and therefore you should come in and find a small group that you can belong to so that you can have fellowship with Christian life through that small group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't think we draw a distinction between whether someone's married or not, or how old the person is, or how young the person is.
Mm.
Of course, with age, it's a little bit different because of the maturity. Mm. So we do have children's ministry and we do have youth ministry.
Mm.
But when it comes to
marital status,
no.
Okay.
Whether you're married or single, you have your own way of living out faith.
Mm.
And we want to encourage all members. We do encourage all to be in small groups, but I suppose with membership it comes a little bit more expectations.
Why did your church discontinue the singles ministry?
I cannot remember.
Okay.
I think it must have come from the singles themselves.
Okay.
Not wanting to be.
Okay. Yeah, but sometimes there are those natural phases. There are not enough singles or not enough.
I might be wrong, but I'm just guessing.
Okay.
It could be because they felt that having that ministry is just highlighting the whole issue about being single.
Mm.
And I can understand if that's the reason, so that the singles do not feel that they are apart from the community. That they are part of the community, and being part of the community, they can continue to either live and contribute as a single, or as part of the community, they may be able to find someone that they can eventually be with and help.
Yeah. So providing natural and opportunities for communication, because there needs to be coordination in time and space, and also there needs to be communication, and otherwise nothing will happen. What most churches do worldwide is they outsource. They neglect the need for Christian marriages. They talk also important to, but Christians marrying other Christians. It's just the tongue and the lips moving in regards to that, because they're not providing. In fact, they often reject, it's something carnal. And it's such an ultra hypocrisy in that. Outsourcing to where? To online businesses, often that are only in a false way pretend to be Christian ministries. And so why outsource relationships? Because that's what most churches do.
I can see that you have many issues with church as an institution.
Yes, I do.
I do too. But I don't hold it against the church for being an institution, because I understand that it's part and parcel of how God has worked through His church. Just like I have to accept the fact that I'm a man and not an angel, although the Spirit lives in me. So yes, it's a paradox, you know. Yes, the church is God's body, but it's also an organization. It's got its issues that sometimes cause us to struggle with how we view the church as an institution versus the church as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But these are real issues.
Mm.
And how we deal with that would determine a lot in terms of how the church receives us.
Mm-hmm.
I understand where you're coming from. I understand when you say there's a lot of hypocrisy, that the church leadership may say certain things but do other things. But at the same time, I also understand that we are not perfect and that we are moving toward the goal that God has set us, and we will strive the best way we know how and can.
Mm.
And I think if we are able to exercise the grace to the church as an institution, it will help us to be the salt in the institution.
Mm.
If not, then it's no point for us to be outside the institution and then we lose our saltiness, right?
Mm. Mm.
So sometimes being accepting and gracious of the imperfections of the organization, we are then more able to do something about it.
Yeah, never to capitulate to non-truths, but confront non-truths in a loving way, and never yield towards non-truths. So if the non-truth is higher up in the hierarchy, confront it in a loving way. If you, as a consequence, is expelled from the community because you spoke the truth in a loving way, well, keep following Jesus Christ. That's what I do.
Yeah, I think it's all right to share our views. I mean, I share my views to committee members as well as to leaders regarding how I feel about the church as an institution. I don't get excommunicated. So I'm surprised that churches do take a position.
Mm. And sometimes
let's see where this journey leads us.
Mm-hmm.
When you do visit, do come. Join us and get to know the people and let the people get to know you and appreciate where you're coming from. And hopefully you will find fellowship and Christian group. Hopefully.
Hopefully you will find fellowship. That just isn't content for me. Because I will not be visiting a church where I am not welcome to fellowship. As soon as I ask, can I fellowship with you? A real church needs to say, yes, please come and fellowship. It doesn't matter what you are. Welcome as you are, but don't remain as you are. Be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Be transformed by the power of the gospel message. And let us help you in pursuit of Jesus Christ. You don't need to screen people in or assess, that person.
Yeah, for the fellowship.
I send an email and ask, can I fellowship with you? Why delay 5 years?
Yeah, I have to find out. Yeah. I cannot answer that question.
Exactly.
But I'll find out.
Yeah.
If I can find out why. Okay, I'll let you know. I'll be very open with you in terms of what comes out of the questions that you have.
Mm.
And I hope that things will work out in accordance to God's will for each one of us.
Yeah. Okay. I will not be content with anything less, but please come and join our group, whatever it is, this week. That's the type of answer, the attitude that I'm looking for. And if that's not there, I will be, to be honest, quite critical.
Listen.
I'm being honest with you. Thank you for being honest with me.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know any person here, any staff here that you have interacted besides myself?
That very precarious situation, 2013, it was like a madhouse. I actually used to work as a psychiatric nurse.
True.
And this was worse, what happened here. It was absolutely mad.
2013.
Yeah.
I got to go find out.
I think around 25, 30 times I asked, what he refused to reveal his name. So I went finally to the information center and I found out who he was. He was the top pastor at that time.
You must have been really upset.
Crazy. But he's normal for churches. Anyway, thank you, Felix.
Okay.